You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
According on August 5th, freaks, sitting back down, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Rod Rudy.
You're so kind.
Here to talk. I mean, we're just talking about entrepreneurship. It's fun. It's fun being an entrepreneur. You're getting DMs.
Dude, it is the best time to be alive to start, especially the US, just to start a side hustle or a business. I know we've like touched on it and we riffed on it for like the last two or three episodes we've done. But dude, just the tooling. I know this is the podcast where you ask me questions, but I want to ask you a couple questions. Like that opportunity cost app that you created. Like, how did you even, I mean, we alluded to it, I think, on the last pod, but the fact that, again, I'll put myself on the left side of the bell curve. A guy like me can just spin up a quick hustle or a quick side business, like no problem, is unbelievable. Like this opportunity cost, I'm curious, like how that even came to fruition.
It all happened at the magic of Bitcoin Park, Austin. You know, you had Justin and Anthony running their AI meetup in the spring. They were doing that at a weekly clip. So I went to a couple of those and I've always had this idea. TFTC, obviously a media company, we've been around for 8 years, and the monetization model is ad driven, which is great. I love our ad partners and it's a good business, but it is a bit cyclical, particularly in the Bitcoin industry where ad dollars dry up when the Bitcoin price goes down. And so I've always in the back of my mind over the last 5 years, specifically, I think during COVID, trying to think of how to diversify revenue streams here. And I like to view TFTC as this holding co. We actually do, like, our corporate entity name is TFTC.io Holdings Inc. And so we have the media, and I've always wanted to sort of branch out into product development oriented around Bitcoin. And I'm a big believer in the best products are ones that you create because you're scratching your own itch. And one of my itches is like, how much Bitcoin am I leaving on the table by sort of spending, I want to say egregiously, but not being conscious of the spending on a day-to-day basis. And to be able to do that, I think you need to be able to price things in Bitcoin. So that was what I settled on. The initial MVP was a mobile app where I would take a picture of something like my laptop, and then it would spit back the price of Bitcoin. It was hard-coded, but it worked as like a prototype, an MVP. And then I showed it to people at the, I demoed it at Bitcoin Park Austin, one of the AI meetups there, where we had a vibe code sort of demo. Nice. And I demoed that. And I showed it to a couple other people and talked to a good buddy I trust actually in the Nashville area who has built a bunch of products, and was telling him about the idea. He's like, dude, an extension, like this would like scale on the internet. And I was like, oh, that's a great idea. So I spent 3 hours on a Saturday just having a conversation with ChatGPT to spec out the app, told it what I wanted to do. It was basically, hey, I'm looking to create a browser extension for Chrome and Firefox that converts any fiat price to Bitcoin. I want it to be open source. I want it to be as private as possible. I'm not trying to collect anybody's data. And after a couple hours with ChatGPT, I was like, all right, here's what the product's going to look like. And then I was like, all right, put on your product manager hat and create like a roadmap and spec for me. And it did that. And I said, okay, I'm going to use Replit to build this.
Hell yeah.
Will you give me the prompts that I should feed Replit's agents to actually build this? And that's essentially what I did. And then about an hour of iteration on Replit using their agentic framework, had a working extension where I could sideload it into Chrome and Firefox, and it wasn't perfect, but it worked, and that was really cool. And then at that point, for me, as somebody who's not a developer, I had a piece of software in my hands that was running in my browsers that I could hand off to a seasoned developer who actually understood how to get it to the across the finish line, and basically was able to hand him the zip files of the sideloaded extensions and was like, do you see what we're doing here? He's like, yes, I know exactly how to clean this up and it what you want it to do. And that's where it led. And it's been cool. We're actually working on a mobile app now, getting back to the original vision. But it's been fun.
You touched on a couple things, just the ad spend drying up. I think traditional models in general are, the future is going to just be different, right? And I think there's going to be a lot of these type of apps, and I don't know what the monetization model is, but there's going to be other ways for other brands to get their message or product in front of the right people. One area that's really interesting, and I hope we can help create this category, but it's more on the community-driven spend and marketing spend. So it's like a lot of brands, you know, kudos to Block, you know, supporting, creating Spiral and supporting, Jack supporting OpenSats. And then you got other brands and companies supporting like things like OpenSats, Brink, and others. And I feel like this is the next area, just to piggyback on that one thread of where dollars and focus may deplete in this one area, but they're going to increase in other areas. And we're seeing that a little bit here at the park, which is really exciting.
Yeah. No, that was the crazy thing about this whole experience, and still, like, how cheap it was. Like, I was able to get the MVP, hand it off to a developer, and I've been paying him on a contract basis for the last couple months as he's iterated on the extension, started working on the mobile app. But it's been, we've been able to fund it. I don't have to go raise money for this product. And the other beauty of it too is, like, to your point about new ways of doing things, I've always had this idea, because we've built up a brand and a viewership base over the last 8 years is pretty material. And 100%. I've been following a lot of people, and I'm sure you've heard this too, but like the idea that you're going to, like, every new company is going to need a quote unquote content creator to get distribution. They're going to have to partner with a content creator to make sure they can get their product into people's hands. And another way to do that is, like, if you already have a media business with good distribution, is to begin launching products. I think most famously we've seen that with Mr. Beast with his chocolate and other things that he's launched. But obviously we're in a different sort of lane than Mr. Beast, and so we're focused on Bitcoin oriented products. But yeah, and I think that's the beauty of it too. Another benefit of it being so cheap to experiment and to get these things out is that I think you're going to be able to find ways to monetize faster. So it's like the browser extension that's completely MIT open source. Anybody can fork it, do what they want with it, access it. But I think, and people have done that already, I've seen in the GitHub, but I think because of our distribution, our brand, we've had the ability to get, like, a material user base, like thousands. We have thousands of users already. It's going up consistently.
Wow.
Every day. And then on top of that, so that's, like, on the business product side, we've used AI to build it and get it, iterate quickly. But then on the marketing side too, I'm not sure if you've noticed, we've been using Google Veo 3 to create these very emotional, educational videos about money being debased throughout history and themes around Bitcoin. And it's the fastest. I've started many X accounts in the past. I think we launched the opportunity. I just, in May, I think I secured the opportunity cost app, op cost app. On X, I secured the name, but then we didn't start posting until, like, late June. And I think we already have 3,000 followers, which is, like, the fastest to 3,000, but it's leveraging AI tools, particularly Google Veo 3 and their video capabilities to create, like, marketing material for very cheap, too.
Dude, yeah, I mean, probably going to just nerd out on all this stuff, and I'm cool with that, but I couldn't agree more on the workflows. I got to give a shout out to Jack Lesser, who runs operations lead at Bitcoin Park Austin. I kind of gave him a little bit of direction, and then he just crushed this Imagine If website, right? And then Rob Bourne, who's leading research, education, and programming at the park, I was like, hey, man, can you experiment on this, the Veo 3 or 2, whatever it's called, on creating these videos. We actually had a partner of ours create the original Imagine If trailer, but the one, the Custody and Treasury Summit that we just announced today, that was all done through Veo 3. And I'm like, holy smokes. And by the way, the one thing I keep thinking about is this is not the end product, right? This is just the initial platform. It's going to only get exponentially better from here. I saw Elon tweeted out something about Imagine, which is their video rendering thing. And I can't wait to experiment with that. But again, I go back to just that, that one person sitting Saturday for a few hours, right? And they're like, I want to create this. And then they create a video, they create the product first and foremost. And they're like, okay, cool. This is the product. This is the message that I want to get out there. And they're able to create 90% of the way there, a almost world-class trailer video. I like look back on the website that we have for Imagine If, and I'm like, you know, this would have probably, it would have cost me like, or I would have spent like 6 months of development time. I don't know how many FTEs I would have spent just to get this level V1 out. And we did that in less than one day. I mean, it's just crazy to me.
Sorry, truck's in the background. I put it on mute. But yeah, no, yeah. And it's, and I think it's important too for anybody who's thinking about this. I mean, you mentioned it with Jack, but like workflow's important. And for the opportunity cost stuff, we'll have literally two 30-minute calls a week, typically late at night. The developers on the West Coast, so I'll stay up to like 9:30. And we'll just have like a catch-up call twice a week. And particularly for the videos, like we have this really cool workflow. We'll get together as a group. We'll decide on the next sort of video we want to do, the next story, the next plot line. And then we'll storyboard in person on a call. And then we'll take those notes and put them in either Claude or ChatGPT to basically like, all right, here's the story we're trying to tell. Here's all the primary resources with the data that we'd like to sort of get to the audience, and we need you to help us like come up with a plot and a storyline. Yeah. And then it gives us like 20 bullet points of like, okay, here's the storyline. And it's like, all right, let's make a more robust storyboard with an actual script. And then we'll go through that. And then beyond that, it's like, okay, going back to what I did with opportunity cost, going from ChatGPT to Replit, it's like, okay, Google Veo 3 really likes, it works best if you describe what you want in a JSON file. So we need you to render this script down to JSON and make it portable to Google Veo 3. And it does that. And the pace at which we're iterating on these, it's like we're going to be able to get one out every week or every other week, but we want to play, because it's, I'm sure you've seen it, like there's been an explosion of these Bitcoin oriented AI generated videos this summer, whether it's Paper Bitcoin Summer or what FOMO 21, what Neil and those guys are doing. But we want to find like this emotional, like in-depth storytelling niche and lean into that. And the pace at which we're able to ship it and the cost to do so is insanely low.
Yeah. It's, what did you coin? It's like I think it was at the Park Austin, and Jack had sent it to me, and I was laughing. I forgot what you had coined, something around like it's time for the podcast.
The idea guy.
Yeah,
that's right. Room to run now. The idea guy can actually do stuff.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, no, I mean, shipping with amazing people, like the two areas I go back to. And why I think, knock on wood, Bitcoin Park over time will be durable and successful is our focus on the member experience and then having a great core team to deliver upon that experience. Just those are, take whatever business you have, whether you're a tire company, a freaking custodial services company, whatever, focus in the people and you can make magic. And there's no better time to be alive than right now.
Yeah. I got to give a big shout out to Ed, Moses, and Elijah. At TFTC. You know, I mean, and it's crazy too. Moses and Elijah, I think they're like 19 and 17.
Oh, like these, heck yeah. So how did you find them out of curiosity?
Noster. I saw Moses posting on Noster about being available to do React JS work. And I think I do my research on how to make opportunity costs like as performant as possible. React JS was the recommendation. I was like, oh, I'm actually looking for somebody, and sort of opened up a line of communication there, and then was off running. And then Elijah's his brother, who happens to be a video producer. And so like when we started doing these videos, it's like, oh, you got a brother that does this. Like,
let's go.
Let's pull him into the mix.
You see that? Yeah.
But that's like the nut we haven't cracked yet is monetizing. Yeah, and obviously the extension's open source, working on the mobile app, but that's a lot of the discussions we've been having this summer. Is like, all right, let's like keep iterating, keep building new stuff, and then try to figure out what the audience, what the users sort of like lead us to a product that can be monetized. Yeah. So it's been a fun experience.
Yeah, I will say, I think, you know, your core, you have a lot of revenue streams with all the work that you're doing. And what allows you the freedom is to not think you have to like think monetization first. You can think cool product first. And then downstream, it's like, oh, we can do this or do that. And that adds to the experience. That's at least, you know, like thinking about the park, it's all about the member experience. And we've just been continuing to add to the member experience. Whereas we could take these shortcuts and like continue to upsell, cross sell, and all this other stuff. It's like, no. How do we add to the existing member experience new benefits that increases the retention and most importantly, them to like shout out from the top of the roofs, like you should join our meetup or come experience something at the park. And I think that's where guys like you are going to continue to accelerate versus other folks that are just doing quick Twitch things and just trying to get some quick Twitch money.
Sup, freaks. This rip of TFTC was brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. They make the Cold Card Q, my favorite hardware wallet, the most secure hardware wallet on the market. As you can see, it's got the BlackBerry form factor, full keyboard. It's got two secure enclaves. You create your private public keys offline. The device never has to go online, never does go online. So you keep your Bitcoin secure. If you have your Bitcoin on exchanges and you're looking to get it off, secure it in the best way possible, pick up a Cold Card Q. Go to coinkite.com, find the Cold Card Q, use the code TFTC for 5% off. If you're a power user of Bitcoin, like I am, if you're running a business on a Bitcoin standard, if you're just a Bitcoiner who wants to secure your Bitcoin, get the most secure hardware wallet on the market, go get the Cold Card Q. It's a beautiful thing.
Sup, freaks? Guess what? We launched a browser extension. It's called Opportunity Cost, and it helps you see the true cost of everything in Bitcoin. Convert prices to Bitcoin as you browse the web. Opportunity Cost automatically displays fiat prices in Bitcoin or sats, helping you think in a Bitcoin standard. It works on Amazon, Zillow, X, your bank account, QuickBooks. You can convert everything to Bitcoin. It's really cool. It's also 100% open source, MIT license. We don't collect any data. All of the conversions happen in your browser on your local device. It's a great way to recalibrate your life and begin thinking in sats. Go check it out at opportunitycost.app. That's opportunitycost.app.
Like TFTC, it's funny because I wear the 1031 cap, and obviously we're investing in companies that need immense amounts of capital to go achieve their goals as they build out critical Bitcoin infrastructure. But here I have the luxury to bootstrap all this. Like the media is bootstrapped, and I can use the proceeds, the revenue from the media to fund these one-off experiments. But again, going back to the point, I've had these ideas for many years, but have never felt comfortable to go actually try to execute on them because of the, funnily enough, the opportunity cost and the risk that is involved, which is like only 3 or 4 years ago, if I were to go build something like this, it would probably cost me tens of thousands of dollars, where I think collectively over the last 4 months, like we've invested right around $10,000, but we have a product out there. We're putting out marketing material, we're growing our user base, and we sort of have confirmation. And I think before we even got confirmation that there's something here, I think we spent like $5,000. So it was like a $5,000 investment to get the product out there and like confirm like there's a there. We should lead into this.
Yeah. You know, I think you touched on a couple of things, like the, you know, by the way, this is maybe a little bit of a tangent, but the crossover I've experienced with 1031 businesses has been really interesting. When I say crossover, is like you guys have a portfolio of, I don't know how many companies you've invested in, maybe
36
companies. And like one example is we just signed up for Primal Studio. And and you also touched on workflows. Like, I cannot stress enough, you know, as a founder, the importance of really looking into your workflows. You know, at first I'd been pushing off implementing the Primal Studio because I couldn't see the workflow on the small team that we have. Now it makes a complete sense and it's like perfectly integrated into our workflow. Don't judge me, but like the three audiences that like the park is going to be focused on cultivating and curating and building, X, Noster, of course, and believe it or not, LinkedIn. LinkedIn is this like terrible beast, but people like will engage with you on LinkedIn and actually read your post because everyone's always looking for a job. And so LinkedIn is that place for that, I guess. I'm losing my train of thought, but then we also just signed up for Strike Business. And do you have a Strike Business account?
I do.
Or no? Okay. I do. That's like at its infancy right now. So, but like going back to the workflow side, it's like getting those integrated on the workflow. We had this one issue with Zaprite, which I believe is also a 1031 portfolio company. Shout out to Parker, John, and Will. That we now use their payment link for our event ticketing, which I was also reluctant to actually implement because we had a really nice workflow with Typeform. But now it's just so much easier with using the payment link to actually get paid. And we integrate it with Strike because like they actually support natively Lightning inside of Zaprite. And I think they're the only partner on the Bitcoin brokerage side or Bitcoin bank side that does that. And so anyways, I don't know why I'm talking about that, but it just makes our life easier in terms of building these workflows as a very, very small team that... I'll go back to one other point, which is around focus. Dude, we can only probably ship like 3 or 4 major things per year. And that's I sleep pretty well at night in general, or I try to. The one thing I like sometimes keeps me up at night is like, is this the most impactful thing me and the team can be working on? Like these 3 or 4 initiatives, right? Like this Imagine If experience, the Custody and Treasury Summit, the research products that we're launching, like, this year, are these the most impactful experiences for the community? I believe that to be true, but we'll see.
Yeah. What makes you think these things are, now switching back to my interview seat, what makes you think that these are the most impactful things you can be working on this year?
Yeah. So going back to listening to the members and what they're kind of like the questions that they're asking and kind of what their focus is on, and then doing the crossover of like what I'm personally interested in so that it gives me energy. Dude, this convergence of Bitcoin, AI, energy, and freedom tech is unbelievable. Unbelievable. We just spent the first, I don't even know, like 15 minutes just talking about AI tooling and how it's reshaping our entire lives, you know, whether it's on the personal side or on the business side. Okay. Now we integrate freedom money into this whole equation, we are off and running. That's why these guys, even building these fiat businesses, leveraging AI that don't know Bitcoin, and they're focused on like Web3 crypto stuff. Nope, no shade, more power to you. I think it's just such a differentiator for us because we're already integrating Bitcoin into those workflows and those businesses that will be well ahead of those folks in terms of business opportunities and such. And so, and then coming back to the energy side, I mean, you were, I really appreciate you participating in the Texas Energy and Mining Summit, and, you know, also always participating in the National Energy and Mining Summit. Dude, it all comes back to energy. Like at the end of the day, it is a race to abundant energy, and we need as much energy as humanly possible to flourish. And so then the last point is like around really cool freedom tech, right, across all sorts of different areas, whether it's on the defense side, the health side, you name it. It's really interesting. So I think your guys' thesis where you guys are investing in the freedom tech world is massive. I think this is where the puck is going. Some of these folks, and that's where I've been very fortunate, and I don't know how, but I've been doing the podcast with Kathy Wood every month, the Bitcoin Brainstorm. And then she actually came up with kind of like was explaining like this whole where the puck is going on the convergence between all these areas. And I was like, Kathy, I really want to do a summit of summits. And I've been thinking about this like more base TED Talk type of version. And she's like, let's go. I'd love to be involved. And so that's what we're doing this September. And yeah, I couldn't be more excited about it.
Yeah. And that's what Friday and Saturday was at the 18th and 19th or
yeah. So September 19th and 20th, in Nashville. And we actually were renting out the Fisher Center for Performing Arts. So we have this beautiful theater.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you, man. And you know, so we got Kathy, we have Dr. Laffer, we have, Adam Back, and there's a number of other folks that we're going to be, you know, announcing as speakers. We're gonna have a whole 1031 stage, as well. Like I imagine you have this beautiful theater with like 10 minute TED style, presentations that all start kind of with Imagine If. And you have these really deep fireside chats and some really amazing folks. And, you know, it's one of those things where not only the speakers are amazing, but the people in the audience are just as amazing, if not even more amazing than the folks on stage. And then really like what the park, I think, does a really good job of is curating a really dope experience. Not to go on a tangent, but I've actually been inspired by you a bit and I've been writing more, especially with AI, but not like the sense of I've always wanted to write a bunch of things. And I always have like this Apple Notes of topics I want to write about. And finally, with the help of like some different prompting and so on, I can get like a good 60% of what I want out in terms of the framework I want. And then I go in and edit it as I see fit. And then I post it. Like this morning, we announced the Custody and Treasury Summit, which is September 17th and 18th, right before Imagine If. I wrote this post and they're all called like, this is dumb, but hear me out. And this one, this is dumb, but hear me out. Conferences suck. Like literally every conference I go to is just like kind of soul crushing in a way. I'm like in a past life when I was doing it for work, it was truly soul crushing because I'm like, man, I have to just be here, do the same rigor more and so on. And I just feel like every experience is this like rubbery chicken plated, you know, lunch or whatever. And it's just the same vanilla stuff. And so, you know, with the park, you know, we take a lot of pride and responsibility in making it the best Bitcoin and freedom tech experience you'll have. And so we're trying to do that now, not only with this Custody and Treasury Summit, September 17th and 18th, but also Imagine If. And yeah, I'll get off my shelf soapbox there for a second.
No, it's. I think the timing couldn't be more perfect because I think it's becoming very clear, particularly here in the U.S., that we are, in some regards, way ahead of where things are going in terms of a lot of the dominant AI companies are here in the United States, mm-hmm. though there are a lot of open source models beginning to eat into that dominance. But I think it's inarguable we're ahead, like what I was describing with ChatGPT, Claude, Replit, Google Veo 3, all American products that are truly unleashing productivity that has never existed. Excuse me. But we're also behind in some ways, like particularly on the energy side, like you said, yeah. Like we need to expand our energy generation and capacity egregiously,
exponentially
yeah. Over the next decade. And I think that's the biggest question. Why I'm excited for Imagine If I'm confident I'll be able to make it, but there may be some life events that get in the way, good life events. I'm fascinated to see what everybody's saying around energy. And it's funny because we've been focused on energy in the Bitcoin space for, I think, the better part of 7 years now when Bitcoin mining began to hit industrial scale. And we were on an island getting yelled at and laughed at for wanting to use more energy. But now that AI is here, It's a foregone conclusion. Yes, we need more energy. Energy's good. We need to plug in all these computers and create this this robotic brain, this globally distributed brain. And I'm not going to be the sourpuss is like, hey, like we were doing this. We were here first. We've been preaching this abundant energy thesis for many years now, and you guys are here. And it's funny that the sort of connotation with increased energy production is now positive because Silicon Valley and big tech is behind it. But whatever, you're here now. Like, let's actually talk about how we're going to do this, because it is a massive problem. I think it's unsolved, and getting people across these three industries, energy, AI, and Bitcoin together is going to be extremely powerful, because totally. I think, number one, the demand is there, the need is there. And when you think of industries with incredible amounts of brain power, I couldn't think of like three more, where if you get them all together, they can probably think of creative solutions to these massive problems.
Totally. And this is the thing, I hope it's similar to the park. We're trying to create durable experiences year over year. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you're not able to make it, and I'm really happy for you guys for what's to come, we're planning is to do it the following year. But like every year is going to be its own unique experience that you're going to, I want to do everything I can to be like, man, I need to get wherever I am in the world, I need to get to Nashville during that time so I can experience it. Like, there's really two areas that I zero in on for the experience. One is specific knowledge generation and that entertains, informs, and inspires. And so how do we get that into the room and then get folks to learn from each, learn? The second is like deep connections that you otherwise wouldn't have gotten. And that's where I think the in real life, like going back to the Austin, you know, during COVID, and you guys were always open for meetups and people were flying in. Same here in Nashville a little afterwards. Deep personal connections in real life still go a massively long way. Like, we're creating so many unique experiences at the park here in Nashville. Like, I got to give a shout out to Andrew Davis. He's absolutely crushing it. Like, we have a Park 101. We have a Park 102. We have a Lit Devs now. We have all these things because he's just like pushing it. And you're just seeing all these people just show up. So I think at this convergence of Bitcoin, AI, energy, and now freedom tech, I think the future is extremely bright. And bringing these folks together to help platform them. And there's a lot of amazing other events that are going on. Like, for example, this the All In Summit. I'm actually a fan of the pod for the most part. And they do like a really great one. And I kind of want this to be the freedom tech version of the All In Summit, right? It's like super focused on those areas. And we don't deviate outside of that.
Yeah. What topic are you most looking forward to specifically? Yeah.
So there's a couple things that we'll have some that are specific to Bitcoin. We'll have some that are specific to AI, and we'll have some that are specific to energy. There's a few things that we're working on right now that cross over and converge on all three. That'll be really, really interesting. One on the defense side, one on the energy production side, and honestly, entrepreneurship side. So across those, I'm honestly really excited about Kathy and Dr. Laffer also participating together, because, you know, Dr. Laffer was Kathy's mentor, still is her mentor to today. We actually recorded a pod last Thursday, I want to say. It was me, Dr. Laffer, Lorenzo on Kathy's team, and Kathy and Paolo from Tether. And it was fascinating to see how curious Dr. Laffer was, just going in and digging in deep into Paolo's business background, monetary history, all of that. And so Rob Warren on the team, on the Bitcoin Park team, has been working with each of the kind of the speakers and kind of guiding them and helping them prepare for this. So I tracking to be really, really special there.
Over 10,000 investors downloaded the original How to Position for the Bitcoin Boom when Bitcoin was just 27K.
and it called for 120K plus. That target's now hit. So what's next? Tour de Meester is back with the 2025 edition, refreshed for the mid-cycle moment, packed with new data, new insights, and Tour's latest price outlook. Plus, you'll get exclusive access to Charting Our Way Through Chaos, Tour's new 30-minute Q3 2025 presentation explaining why this bull run might be only just beginning and what forces could push it to the next level. Read the first ever mid-cycle report from Adamant Research at unchained.com/TFTC. That's unchained.com/TFTC. And also, if you're using Unchained, you can use the code TFTC for $50 off any of their services. Go check it out.
What are your thoughts about the people out there who are looking at paper Bitcoin summer and saying that Bitcoin is losing its cypherpunk roots and the ethos that got it here? Find any credence in that?
You know, I do have a lot of thoughts actually on that. And honestly, I was somewhat reluctant to launch the custody and treasury summit. We had planned this at the beginning of the year to launch it. And we were planning to do it right before Imagine If, which we did. We just announced this today because it seems like the narrative is just around this. Let's use all leverage possible to buy Bitcoin. And it's like, what? Are we back in 2017, 2018 around the crypto stuff? And it's like, do whatever it takes to buy as much crypto as possible. There's only one way this thing goes and it's up. I'm like, how many times have you and I experienced, and you more than me, because you've been in Bitcoin way longer than me, an 80% drawdown? It's probably going to happen again in our lifetime. Like, probably. And so for folks in general, and this is a bit of a tangent riff, like, just be disciplined and happy. Creativity loves constraints, and be happy. There's beauty in enough, meaning figure out what you love to do with your family, your personal life, and, you know, your health, and just stay within those areas. And you can build a really wealthy and beyond imaginable life and business. But when you're talking about like, hey, I'm a treasury company, I'm going to go issue this, and then I'm going to raise it at this level. Honestly, I'll be honest with you, Marty, it's so over my head. So I'm not as like well-versed to explain, like talk through it all. But anytime, again, I'm on the left side of the bell curve. When you're like, okay, I'm going to go raise debt at an interest rate because I'm going to buy Bitcoin, and that number is going to go up, you know, above this threshold. There is this like domino effect that can happen on the way up to whatever price you want to like make up in the world, to all the way down to 80, 90% drawdown from whatever the price that we have. I don't want that to happen, but that's why I think on the treasury side, as it relates to the custody and treasury summit, we got folks that are small business owners, we got family offices, we got other folks, institutional folks as well, that are going to be attending as well as participating. But the focus is on like, what are the treasury strategies that we should be implementing? Like TFTC, for example, I'd be curious to know like your guys' treasury strategy. Everyone has like a Bitcoin treasury strategy if they're accumulating Bitcoin. It's like, hey, we accumulate, you know, 100% of our Bitcoin, 20% goes into cold storage, 20% goes into collaborative custody, and then 60% is in our full custody with Strike Business because we use that for, you know, paying employees, paying vendors, whatever else. I'd be curious to know, that's what I'm curious about at the Custody and Treasury Summit. It's like, what are those strategies and why, and how do you implement those? But I'll say this. I think there's an opportunity to help shape that narrative, especially on Paper Bitcoin Summer, with a lot of eyeballs on us to say, how do you custody your Bitcoin? And then just leave the pregnant pause and be like, what do you mean? I leave it with Coinbase. I don't know what you're talking about. And it's like, or I have it with a strategy or this stock or whatever. And I'm like, okay, you know, that's not your Bitcoin and you don't have it until you're actually physically custodying it yourself. And so if I can spend maybe a minute, that's another area at the park. That's why I was so bullish on bringing Rob on the team. It's rather than being this boomer and that, you know, yells about all the problems that are wrong, I really want to focus on figuring out solutions where I think is the right solution. And we'll figure out if the market believes what my solution is the right one. One of which is at the Custody and Treasury Summit, we're going to produce a custody report. where it breaks down what's the state of Bitcoin custody in 2025 from, and honestly, we're in the review process right now, but I look at it in personally in four pillars. There's, you know, single sig custody. That's either hot wallet or cold wallet. And we can go through that a whole jam. Then there's multi-sig. There's full-on custodial multi-sig. Like, I think OnRamp is more full-on custodial multi-sig. Then there's collaborative custody, like Unchained and Casa. And then there's just like, full-on multi-sig that's self-custodial, like Caravan and some of these other open source models. Then you got full custody, which is like River and Strike. There's another tier, but I'm not even going to bring it up in the custody report, which is like this marketing wrapper on top of a third-party custodian. Like, I wouldn't even recommend that those brokerages to custody your Bitcoin, because it's like two layers away from you actually holding your own Bitcoin. And then there's the fourth one, which is insured custody, which is really, in general, I'm not a whale to be in that world, but like what Rob Hamilton and AnchorWatch are creating, they're creating that category right now in insured custody. And I'd be watching what they're building right now, because I don't want this to happen, and I hopefully it doesn't happen. But if one of these ETFs or one of these large exchanges gets like hacked and then they lose a bunch of Bitcoin, I don't know what the repercussions are. But if you have, you know, an insured custody product like with AnchorWatch or I think maybe Fidelity is also in the game there as well. There's another insurance level that, no pun intended, that you want to implement. So I really want to go deep into those areas. And I think on September 10th, we're going to send it out to all the attendees so that they have it. And then we're actually going to print it out physically for them so that they can take it. And then a lot of the people and companies cited in that report, maybe if not all of them, are going to be, you know, invited to participate in the Custody and Treasury Summit. So we want to do that year over year, so that going back to the experience side, you know, how conferences just suck and it's just soul crushing. I'd rather like an organizer be like, hey, we created this specific industry report tailored to payments, tailored to open source, tailored to custody, tailored to global Bitcoin adoption, tailored to energy and mining, that we thought you would enjoy since you're attending our summit. And here are the folks that are going to be, you know, attending, so that you can best prepare on how to leverage this, the 2 days you're going to have in Nashville. I'd be blown away if someone did that for me. And I, you know, it would be, the price of admission would be negligible for that.
Yeah. No, it's something I think about a lot. And I think it's important to bring up, funnily enough, the banking crisis of 2023. Like, you want to figure out all this today. Yes. So you don't have to worry when something does go awry and your example exchange gets hacked or something like that. But like we saw, because of the Operation Choke Point 2.0, like Silvergate went down and Signature went down, the Silicon Valley Bank went down, and those were three of the very few banks that would actually work with companies in the space. And so you're playing bank hot potato, and then you get to the last bank that ultimately fails in Silicon Valley Bank. You're like, I don't know where to send my money. Like, these other banks won't let me set up an account. So we saw a lot of companies like just like wire the money to Bitcoin trading desk, whether it's Unchained, Strike, whatever, put it in Bitcoin, and then either put it in multisig or just hold it on an exchange. And I think that event highlighted, like, if you had done that before, you wouldn't have to worry. Like, that's like when it comes to our strategy with our Bitcoin treasury here at TFTC, very similar to what you described. We have a number of exchange accounts, we have multisig, deep cold storage, we have other wallets that we put in, we split it up, but basically I think we're pretty well set up where I can sleep easy at night knowing that the Bitcoin is secure because we're doing it the right way. And dude, I think that's one of the interesting friction points that exist right now, and I think it's just a product of trying to teach old dogs new tricks, where historically people are very familiar and comfortable with, like, oh, I have a brokerage account, I have a bank account, I keep it here. And I think we're still in that sort of messy learning period where people, unless you're seeped in the industry, like we are, don't understand that there's better ways to do these things and to eliminate centralized third-party risk in an extreme way if you do it the right way. And I'm very happy you're throwing the Treasury and Custody Summit, because I think that's one area that we still need to get over the hump for, particularly for new entrants getting into Bitcoin. Let's do it the right way. Make sure that you're taking advantage of the sovereign properties of Bitcoin.
Exactly. And like, I think Jack Dorsey said it best. He was on a podcast, I think Presidio Bitcoin was doing, which was, if we just look at it as a store of value, it will be captured and will be basically neutered. And I couldn't agree more with that. We need to show, like, there's so many great things that are being built in the Bitcoin space. I mean, the UX just on Nostra alone is unbelievable, the advancements that they're making. And then the UX in just custody, I mean, dude, in 2017 or whatever, 2018, we're just like looking at a small screen trying to like verify a freaking Bitcoin address. And it's like, what are we? At first I was like, why am I doing this? Like, what the heck is going on? And there's now even companies like Phil Geiger, I think, is advising one company. I wish I knew the name so I can give him a shout out, but maybe Bronta or something. Where they do verification on the address before sending it. Because everyone's Bronta. Like, Bronta, okay. Like, I always get nervous. Even sending like 10,000 sats, I'm like, man, okay. If I'm getting nervous and I've been doing this for a long time, like, do other people, like, fat fingering an extra letter here or whatever? But just we got the amazing people that are coming to Bitcoin every single day. B, the product just gets better and better and better because we're built on open source, like straight up. And C, it's the coolest thing we could be working on is this, all this freedom tech stuff. So I'm cautiously optimistic. That's why, you know, I was a little nervous about like this whole paper Bitcoin summit and then also including Treasury in the name of the summit. But honestly, the emphasis on custody and also tying it into Treasury strategies, I couldn't think of a better time to help shape that narrative and provide a resource again for folks to continue their continued education in the space.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I think private market company, like companies that aren't public yet that are private, if you're cash flowing, you're profitable, and you're thinking about this strategically, like there are obviously custody products that exist, but I think in terms of like leveraging the, like if you have you're producing a ton of EBITDA, it's a sustainable business that's been around, you want to keep it private. Like that's one thing I've seen behind the scenes just through the nature of what I've been doing at 1031 is there are like private lenders and private financers that understand the Bitcoin play and will begin to offer products and services let you pull forward some of that cash flow and put it into mm-hmm. Bitcoin before it rips. And so that's the other thing as it pertains to Treasury strategy specifically for companies run by Bitcoiners that are very successful and producing a lot of cash flow. Like the options are going to be there, where alternatively I've talked to a lot of people who are like, trying to get to public markets as quickly as possible to access that pool of capital because they have FOMO about their Bitcoin treasury not growing as quickly as they'd like to as well. But I think the market, both in private and public markets, are recognizing the opportunity, and it would be cool to get some private market financiers there to talk about some different sort of structures that they could offer.
Totally.
To look.
For example, Max over at Debify, he's flying over for both custody and treasury and Imagine If. So I'm really interested on the, you know, even though I've kind of poo-pooed a little bit on the lending side, I'm actually interested on some of the DLCs and like what Lava's doing with Shazan and a lot of these other products, because I feel like the price to lend the money should competitively go down because you're providing the most pristine bearer asset that there is, which is Bitcoin. So, okay, like, shouldn't my interest rate be lower because I'm providing you the actual collateral here? So And you know, there's just a number of ideas there. And that's where I think what's selfishly for me is I got to scratch my own itch, and also talk with all the members here at the park and say, would it be cool if we did it this way? And then get feedback. And then we continue to iterate and build the experience that we all want to participate in.
Yeah, no, I completely agree on the Bitcoin collateralized lending. Like, it makes no sense. When, I mean, Unchained's a perfect example. They've issued over $1 billion worth of loans over almost 8 years. They've had zero principal loan loss.
Yeah.
I think when you,
it's amazing.
When you're looking at it from a risk adjusted perspective on the potential to lose the principal of the money that you lend to somebody, like, it's effectively zero because Bitcoin's extremely liquid and trades 24/7, 365. You simply sell the Bitcoin, recover your dollars if the loan gets in danger. Whereas if you apply that to real estate, it simply does not exist. You could have the borrower go into default, and then it's like, all right, I got to sell this house.
Yeah.
Housing prices are crashing, so you're forced to sell at a loss and eat, and that eats into your principal. It simply doesn't exist in Bitcoin.
Totally. Totally. There's just so many things. And yeah, I'm very, very bullish, but I will say, just what's Matt say? Stay humble and stack sats. I mean, just
great advice.
Great advice, as always.
Yeah. I'm excited. What, where should we point people to sign up for the summit and the Imagine If conference?
Yeah, totally. Bitcoinpark.com/ImagineIf. There's like, we're going to have always at our summits, there's just a little, there is limited space. So we want to make sure the experience is great for everybody. For the custody and treasury summit, that's Bitcoinpark. If you go to join our Nashville meetup page, you can go see the wait list there. But if you go to bitcoinpark.com/custody-treasury, you can learn more there. Yeah, man. And I totally understand if you're not coming, but you know, Parker's coming for both the custody and treasury summit and Imagine If. I got to give him a massive shout out. You know, as there's paper Bitcoin summer, you know, all of these different, what do you call them? Seasons of Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And now we got the season of Bitcoin where Parker's now a podcaster, which is amazing. I got to give him a massive shout out, and also TFTC, that he's under like the TFTC umbrella. I saw on Twitter, him and Rob just posted there. Parker's podcast is called Center of Hash.
Center of Hash, an homage to Dhruv Bansal's concept of the Center of Hash in his Bitcoin multi-planetary series.
That's amazing. Well, and this is the good, what was sad for me was, you know, in 2017 and 2018, when I was really learning about Bitcoin, I was learning about Bitcoin from you, Odell, and there was a number of other great Bitcoiners. And I mean, you're still on Twitter, but like Matt's not, and he's like on Nostr only. And there's a number of people that just dropped off, whether they got wrecked or whatever. But to your point around the cypherpunk ethos, I mean, these guys were just like hammering the status and, you know, people to be like, oh, you're really going to have full custody? Yeah. Yeah. GFY, you know, have fun staying poor, and like all the funny, in a good spirit, funny, memes. Now it's like, all right, I just joined this, publicly traded company to be the director of Bitcoin strategy. It's like, more power do you? I'm not trying to throw shade, but it's just a different season of Bitcoin where I hope, especially going back to these summits, Marty, it's like we focus with tight groups of people on a specific topic that we can build out. Like what Presidio Bitcoin's doing in, like, they got like a design week, they did quantum computing. Like, I love that in the sense that we're tackling different Bitcoin and freedom tech topics with intentionality and like some specific purpose around a specific group of people. So I come all the way back to, it's great for Parker to be a podcaster now.
Yeah, we need more podcasters.
That's right.
Now, to your point, like paper Bitcoin summer, public market treasury strategies, definitely interesting, definitely exciting to a certain degree, but not my cup of tea. What really excites me is the freedom tech, and beyond that, like, just building businesses that produce products and services that people like, and you can sell at a profit and then funnel those profits into Bitcoin and develop your Bitcoin strategy, your treasury that way. And a lot of people are fading or opining that the cypherpunk ethos has been lost, but it's there.
Yeah, it's
if you know where to look. If you look at what, like, Cali and the Cashy team are doing and what's happening on Noster. And
Cali's my replacement for Odell on Twitter. I just go back to him and I'm like, dude, this guy is just straight fire every time he posts. Knock on wood, we'll see. There's folks like that want to continue to support, and not me continue to support, like, just whatever we can do to freaking boost up guys like him. And there's a lot of guys like Cali that are behind the scenes building really cool shit that is just unbelievable.
Yeah. Like Evan and Zeus haven't stopped shipping.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, I mean, I think the jury's still out on whether or not roll-ups on Bitcoin will scale, but they're giving it a very good try over there, you know, like Starkware and Alpen Labs, and they're launching stuff. Yep. And Simplicity just got...
Yep, with Adam, I was just talking with the Blockstream team yesterday. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that's where, if you're looking in the right... This is where... I know we're about like an hour in, and I don't want to tease something, but this is something we're going to be working on in earnest in 2026. Everybody and their mom is like, we have a lot, and we're very thankful. Like, there's a lot of folks that support the park that are well outside of Austin, Nashville, and they're members of the park. Almost undoubtedly, they're like, hey, I would love to have a Bitcoin park in my city. And I'm like, man, you know, how much CapEx and all the things. But now I'm like, you know what? I think there's a chance, Marty, that we're going to accelerate and start these pop-ups across the U.S. And because I need to do at the park is help get the messages out of, like, the importance of custody, the importance of, like, how institutions could be or should be thinking about Bitcoin as it relates to the amazing properties that make Bitcoin so special. Explaining Cashew out there, explaining Fedi and how the usage of those federations. There's just so much more that we can be doing. And I think the ground game of getting out there, supporting other Bitcoin meetup organizers, we have a soft plan and a Q4 internal team goal to map this out. So if you're listening now, more to come on that front.
We need a pop-up in Philly.
There's 12 cities, and Philly is on the list.
All right, that's good to know. Well, I can't wait to help you brainstorm the Philly pop-up.
Heck yeah, man. I would love that.
All right. I hate that we only have an hour, but I have to go pick up a car. I'm sure, I don't know if you listened to the Rabbit Hole Recap, but I had some car issues last week, and I just got a text earlier this morning that it's ready. So I'm going to go.
Are you buying a new car, or are you getting your car back?
I bought a new car, and then it broke within a week. So yeah, it's been great.
What's the op cost on that?
I think they're comping the fix because it had less than 200 miles when I brought it back. But it's manageable. It's manageable. Good. I'll say that.
Good deal. Good deal. Dude, Marty, I can't thank you enough, man. And keep killing across all the fronts, man. I'm super impressed and inspired by you.
Yeah, the feeling is mutual, Ron. We're going to win.
We're going to win.
All right. Peace and love, freaks.
Freaks, thank you for listening to the show. I hope you liked it. If you did like it, please make sure you subscribe, rate, review the show. It helps us out a lot. And also, if you like these conversations, I've come to realize that many people listen to the podcast. They don't know we have another sort of layer of this media company. We have the newsletter, the Bitcoin Brief. Go to tftc.io. Make sure you subscribe there. A lot of the topics that are discussed on this podcast I write about 5 days a week in the newsletter. We also have the TFTC Elite tier. If you sign up for that, become a member. We have a private Discord server for the elite freaks out there where we're dropping ad-free versions of this show and having discussions about everything we talk about a day early. Logan wanted me to make sure if you want to get the show a day early, become a TFTC elite member, you will get that. We have our Discord server. Right now it's conversation between myself and TFTC elite tier members, but we're going to expand that. We'll probably do closed Q&As with people in the industry. I may be doing Macro Mondays. So join us. Go to tftc.io. Subscribe. Find the button in the top right corner of the website. Become a TFTC elite member. Thank you for joining us. Okay.